as we look at God's word together, I think as I was praying during last week, I just felt the Lord lead me to Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. And what I would like to do, God willing, if the Lord doesn't lead me a different way after a while, to look at these chapters leading up to Advent. Really thinking about that Jesus is Lord of all situations. Like any congregation, we come with different needs and different experiences. But we actually serve a Lord Jesus who will pour his grace, bring his peace, transform various situations. And I've entitled the sermon, Jesus Who Commands, which actually speaks about the Lord Jesus' power and authority. And as we think about, you know, Matthew's gospel, in our Bibles, obviously, it's the first gospel, but it was the second gospel written after Mark. When Matthew was writing, he was actually thinking more of a Jewish audience, but also has stories that relate to us as Gentiles, and the story of the centurion and his servant. And when Matthew was actually writing, he was actually writing to a church under pressure, under persecution, under a very difficult time. But he wants to present the Lord Jesus, who can actually pour his power and his grace. And in many ways, Matthew's gospel has been described as a manual for discipleship, and speaking to those under difficult times, and it can speak to us today. Matthew's gospel presents Jesus as King. And in chapter 1 and chapter 4, it's about the person of Jesus. In chapter 5 to chapter 7, it teaches us about the principles of the King, which we actually call the Sermon of on the Mount, an attitude of being. You know, how should we respond? How should we be kingdom people with God's values? Here in chapter 8 and 9, we see the power of the King, that the Lord Jesus has that power and that authority. And in these two chapters, there are actually 10 miracles, not necessarily in chronological order, but grouped together, communicating that our Lord Jesus has that power and that authority that he can speak into our lives. And I want to actually, from Matthew chapter 8, pick up the second miracle, which is the faith of the centurion, which Val actually read to us. But I just want to start with this. An ancient legend told about a monk who found a precious jewel. In fact, he kept it quietly and kept it in his bag. A short time later, however, he met a traveller who said he was hungry and asked the monk if he would share some of his provision. When the monk opened his bag, the traveller saw the precious stone and on impulse asked the monk if he could have it. Amazingly, without much thought, the monk gave the traveller the stone. The traveller departed quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, a few days later, he came, searching for the monk again. The monk was so surprised to actually see this man again and wonder what he wanted. The man came back to the monk and gave back the precious jewel. And he said, I want something else. And the monk gasped and shook his head in disbelief. What else would you actually be interested in? I gave you a precious gem. Finally, the traveller said, please give me that which enable you to give me the most precious stone that you had. And as we come this morning, we come to a Lord Jesus who meets us, who pours his grace into our lives, who brings that word of assurance and that hope. And as we look at the passage, I just want to pick up three simple points. Firstly, compassion expressed. Compassion expressed. And if you follow it in your own Bible, it's verses 5 and 6. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Matthew records here, when Jesus entered Capernaum, he comes across a centurion who sees Jesus, and he comes to Jesus and asking the Lord for help. And what the text actually says, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, in terrible suffering. And I don't know what you are facing this morning, what challenges that you have, but we can come to a Lord Jesus that understands, a Lord Jesus that loves us with that everlasting love, a Lord Jesus that is available to us 24 hours a day as we pour our hearts and our concerns out to him. But in these verses we read, the centurion was someone that had that deep concern, the one person showing compassion. See, the centurion did not send for Jesus, as Matthew records, but came to Jesus himself. When we read in Luke's gospel, in Luke's account of this story, it refers to this servant, to this young man, as a servant, doulos. But the word that Matthew uses in his account describes this servant as one basically means a child or a boy. And perhaps this is a special significance here. He was the servant that the centurion had come to love as a son. And Luke tells us in his account that this servant is highly valued. I think we need to understand something about this Roman centurion who came to Jesus. Centurions normally formed the military backbone of the Roman Empire. They were NCOs who exercised discipline, trained the recruits. This centurion was a junior officer in the forces of Herod Antipas. So that would mean he was non-Jewish, drawn largely from Syria. But he came, in verse 5, asking for help. The fact is, the centurion had many obstacles that stand between him and Jesus. Pride, doubt, money, language, time, and self-sufficiency. But these barriers or blockages did not stop him coming to Jesus. We can come to our Lord Jesus as sons and daughters of God, and maybe pour our hearts out by various situations that we struggle with. But we come to our Lord Jesus. Time and time again, he pours his grace. He walks with us. It's so absolutely breathtaking to find a Roman soldier coming to Jesus. And I want you to notice that he calls him Lord. In fact, he calls him Lord twice in the passage. And I hope you can appreciate what it's a remarkable thing for a Roman centurion. They were in power in Israel. And to say to a Jew, and the Greek word for Lord here, or master, is a term of great respect, treating him, someone with exalted rank. And he comes as a humble soldier, which was far beneath him. The centurion was not a typical master or owner. He was foremost a brother, a friend, a neighbor to this servant. He did not stand aloof or stand back. Things did not separate them through class or rank or wealth. It did not define their relationship. There is no distinction between them. Just let me illustrate it. A story is told about the Duke of Wellington attending a church service in the Anglican church. It was a communion service at his parish church. And as you know, people went forward, the Duke went forward, but also down another aisle, a very poor old man also went forward to the altar rail and to the communion table. He knelt close by the side of the Duke. Immediately, there were tension and commotion interrupted the silence of the church. And someone came up and touched the poor man on the shoulder and whispered to him to move further away from the Duke, or rise up until the Duke had received bread and wine. But the eager eye and quick ear of the great commander caught the meaning of the touch, and he went across and touched this poor man, and he clasped the old man's hand and held him to prevent him from rising in a certain way. And the Duke said, "Don't move. We are equal here." And when we come to our Lord Jesus, the cross is level ground. Each of us comes as sinners, saved by grace. In verse 6, we read that this servant at home paralyzed in terrible suffering. And as Luke mentions in his account, Luke, who was a doctor, tells us that the boy was ready to die. See, the centurion had that heart of compassion. This is an indication how God has been transforming the heart of this centurion. Ordinary hardened Roman leader would not be personally affected when the servant became sick. Not only did he know his servant's sickness, its symptoms, his severity, also his suffering, he cared for his servant. His servant could easily be replaced, but this centurion loved and cared deeply for this boy. He went out of his way. And God has called us to be people of compassion, to show his love and his mercy. Secondly, I want to pick up the humility before Jesus. The humility before Jesus. And if you follow it in the Bible, verses 7 to 9. Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant would be healed. For I myself, a man under authority, with soldiers under me, I tell you this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this." We notice how this man came to the Lord Jesus, a humble manner, which is expressed in verse 8. A centurion was a military leader who had 100 soldiers at his command, but with all his provision and action, past achievement and positive aspiration, he still felt unworthy, undeserving, and unseemly that the Lord should enter his house. And he says this, yet he says, "Lord, I don't deserve you to come under my roof." And the centurion felt unworthy to have Jesus to come to his house to heal his servant. And in our living, in our serving, being the people of God, what we need to reflect more than anything else is our Lord Jesus. And sometimes when we are under enormous pressure, when we are struggling with things, the greatest testimony that people can actually see is the difference that Jesus actually makes to our lives. Brings that hope and that shalom peace. And it's interesting to notice of Jesus, 35 recorded miracles in the gospel, 26 were acts of healing and deliverance and restoration. And of those 26 instances, only 7 people had asked Jesus personally. Others were brought or approached by Jesus. 3 for themselves, 3 on behalf of the children, and the centurion for his young servant. Only the centurion in the 4 Gospels acknowledged his unworthiness as he came before Jesus. The royal official in John chapter 4 and verse 49 said to Jesus, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Next, the ruler in Matthew chapter 9 verses 18 and 19 again knelt before him and said, "My daughter had just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." And the Canaanite woman in chapter 15, who cried out to Lord, "Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering from demon possession. Socially, politically, traditionally, the centurion felt out of necessity he had to come and to meet the Lord Jesus. And he said this, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." A faith that recognizes the authority of Jesus. And as we come to our Lord Jesus, the centurion came and recognized that Jesus' authority. And we too come to our Lord Jesus, who is the master of every situation, the conqueror of every enemy, who can bring his peace and hope and deliverance. Do you remember back to the Sermon on the Mount, and it, in Matthew 7 and verse 28 and 29, and it says, most of the people did not do anything with the amazement. Here is one who believed that in Christ's words, that a miracle had taken place. And we come to a mighty and a living God who can change and transform any situation. And thirdly and finally, the hope of the centurion had in God. Now, firstly, I want to pick up verse 10. And it says this, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus praises the centurion for his great faith. And in the NIV, it actually mentions, Jesus heard this, and he was astonished. And he goes on in verse 11. I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Don't limit God by our mindset and lack of faith. Corrie ten Boom said this, faith is like a radar that sees through the fog. And sometimes in our own lives, and maybe, you know, situations we've been praying for a long time. It might be a family member or a son or daughter or grandchildren or whatever. And sometimes in our Christian journey and our pilgrimage, we sometimes feel that we are in that great fog. But our Lord shines his light into that situation. What Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 really talks about, Jesus' power to heal and to transform. And as New Testament Christians, we need to believe more than anything else that our God is a God of all miracles. Yes, he can heal physically, but in some situations, the Lord doesn't. But what he does, he pours his grace into those situations to give us the power to cope with those situations. Instead of being a victim to a situation, we can actually be victorious in those situations, all because of God's grace and God's power. See, the centurion had a great faith, so great that he trusted Jesus simply to say the word, and your servant would be healed at a distance. The faith that this centurion was greater than any faith that the Lord Jesus had come across in Israel. And he responded. See, Jesus' power and authority is clearly seen here in Capernaum. He previously healed a leper. And later on in chapter 8, Simon's mother-in-law. People with various kinds of sickness and demon possession. And then the paralytic. Only the centurion in Capernaum embraced Jesus and acknowledged him as Lord, a title that never left his lips. Do we accept Jesus' authority in our lives? Or are we more self-sufficient instead of becoming dependent upon our God? It's interesting to read, it actually goes on in verses 11 and 12, where Jesus really speaks about the eternal result of trusting in Jesus. And this is where we come across a major shock in verses 11 and 12. You see, there is much more in store for this gentle soldier and millions more like him because of faith in Jesus or unbelief, which seals our eternal destiny. Do you realize when Jesus talked about people coming from the east and the west, coming to share in the great feast of the kingdom of heaven? This is a picture of joy and celebration at the end time when Christ's kingdom is fully established. And there is only one requirement: coming to our Lord Jesus in that faith and trust. And as we come constantly to the cross at Calvary to affirm and to declare that we serve a Saviour that has saved to the utmost, a Saviour that reaches out with his love and with his grace, that offers us wholeness and forgiveness from our sins and eternal life. We have that tremendous hope because we believe in the Lord Jesus, who is the master of all situations and the conqueror of all enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.